Good morning and happy Easter to each one of you this morning on this wonderful Sunday morning where we commemorate and remember and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Savior and coming King. As we open up this time of praise and worship, would you all please stand and bow your heads and your hearts, and may we open up with a word of prayer today. Gracious God, we bow before you. We recognize you, Jesus, as our Lord and as our Savior, as our coming King, as the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. And we just thank you, Jesus, for being our Savior, for being our sanctifier, for being our King, for being our God. We thank you for this privilege and this opportunity, this honor that we have been given this morning to worship you, to exalt your holy name, to sing praises unto you, O Christ. So, Father, we invite you here. We ask that your Holy Spirit would quicken our minds and open our hearts and impact our lives all for your glory, that we might expand your holy kingdom each and every day. We commit this worship service into your care. Take it, use it, glorify yourself through it, and may we be blessed because of it. We bless you, O Lord, in the holy name, the risen Christ, our Lord and Savior's name, we do pray. Amen.
So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Well, let's do that one more time. So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Awesome. As we get ready to praise our Lord, let's turn to our neighbor and say, He has risen.
Make it whiter than snow. Like a tide, it is rising up.
as we bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to have that opportunity to be able to go down to the river where we can wash away our sins, Lord, for they can be gone forever, Lord, for what you did on this day, Father. You rose from the grave, Lord, and we thank you so much for all your sacrifice and what you've done for us, Father, because our Redeemer, you are our Redeemer, and you do live, and we thank you for that, and you did rescue our soul, and you covered our sins, Lord, and we thank you for all you've done and what you will do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Clap of praise for what he's done for us. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We do thank you for what you've done. For our Redeemer, you are our Redeemer, and you do live. That stone was rolled away, Lord, and what a sight that must have been. He is gone. He is risen. He did all of that for you and me, all of that for us, so that we may have an opportunity to know him and live with him forever. There isn't anything he won't do for us. So if we ever carry anything with us, allow us to give that to him. Allow us to have that personal relationship to get to know him. If we don't know him, today is the day to get to know him. All things we give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We do thank you for living for us, Lord. We thank you for your ultimate sacrifice that you paid, Lord. Father, it's never too late to get to know you and to give everything to you, Lord. We just need to remember what you did for us. You're alive and well on the throne right now. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for what you're doing and what you will do in our lives. Father, allow us to remember this day and what it means. Allow us to take in the message today and put it into our hearts and to remember the ultimate sacrifice you made for us. Lord, we ask a special blessing over this church, those that are here and those that could not be here, Lord. Father, and anybody that needs you, allow them to find you. We ask a special blessing over this pastor and allow him to be able to deliver the message that you would like us to hear, Lord. We thank you for all that. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. I've been given word that there is a black Dodge vehicle out here by the utility poles that is still running, and so if that's your vehicle, you might want to go turn it off as well. Before we continue this time of praise and worship and this time of worship here this morning, I just want to highlight a couple brief announcements, and it's with heavy hearts that I announce that Albert Damschroeder has passed away, and there are many individuals here that would know Albert. He had quite a time for the last 8 years being in a nursing home. And so there will be funeral services here at Trinity later on this coming week. Details will be forthcoming. And so, you know, on the one hand, we grieve at the loss of Albert, but this being the day we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. And Albert was a man of faith, and so we rejoice because today Albert is with Jesus Christ, and he is living forevermore. The scriptures tell us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and that's why we're here, friends. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, if the resurrection is not true, then we might as well all go home, right? So praise God that Albert professed faith in Christ as his Lord and Savior, and yet we grieve as well. A couple other announcements. If you had purchased a lily in honor or in memory of someone, please remember to pick that up after the service and take that home, and may it just be a wonderful blessing to you over the next several days and weeks to come. And if you'll notice with me on the back of your bulletin, this year we're doing something a little bit different for Vacation Bible School, and I want to highlight this, and I know Rachel will over the weeks to come. I don't really like the word mandatory, but in this case, I will go with mandatory. This year, we are making mandatory child safety training. There's going to be two meetings. You can read about it on the back there. One will be on April the 30th, and then one will be on May the 7th. It will be held right here immediately following the worship service at noon, and it will end at 1:30. And so if you have signed up to be a part of Vacation Bible School, what a wonderful ministry that this is here at Trinity. Please mark your calendar, because this is important that we all be trained in acknowledging how we can make the ministry more safe for these kids that God is entrusting to us. Children's Church is now dismissed for those in kindergarten through fourth grade. We have a special ministry prepared especially for you. And may the rest of us, may we turn our attention to the reading of God's Word.
Our reading today is on page 1549. It's 1549. It's in Matthew 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. This is our reading from the Word of God. May the ushers now come up for offering.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? And were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, it makes me tremble, and I tremble, and I tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Rose from the grave. Were you there when my Jesus rose from the grave? Oh, sometimes causes me to shout and I cry. I tremble, causes me to tremble. Were you there when my Jesus rose from the
knowing, ever-loving Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you for all the many blessings that you so graciously grant unto us each and every day. As part of these blessings, Father, we place on your altar this morning our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them. Bless them and multiply them in your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Some 2,000 years ago, something happened that had never happened before, and it will never, ever happen again. It has not happened since. Friends, that thing was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The tomb was empty, and it still is empty, and the tomb will remain empty until Jesus returns one day. And friends, he will return. This morning, we're going to enter into the text that was read a few moments ago, and we are going to look at one aspect of that from two different perspectives. And we're going to look at the reaction from the guard's perspective and then the women's perspective. Friends, a reaction is simply a response. You could look at the word reaction and you could draw a line in between R-E and you would see action. And so it's a reaction. It's a response to something. Our culture is, you know, it's basically fixated on reactions. We have shows such as Kids Say the Darndest Things, to America's Funniest Home Videos, to the prank videos. It seems like our culture is always pushing the edge, and we always want to see what reaction we can promote and give and make happen in the life of someone else. You see, we celebrate Easter today. This is the day that the Roman Catholic Church and the Orthodox Catholic Church, as well as the Protestants, celebrate Easter. It was mentioned at the Good Friday service that this is the same day for all Christians all around the world, celebrating the resurrection of Christ. I think about this worldwide and all those believers in Christ gathering on the same day in a unified response, a unified reaction to the resurrection of Christ. So may we open our hearts and may we find and be in tune with the reaction that God would have for you and for me. Greg's going to come right now, and he's going to share with us from the perspective of the guards and their reaction. So may we give our attention to Greg.
Yes, good morning, everybody.
So often when we think of the resurrection, we sort of forget about the guards. We kind of think of them as these passive bystanders. But there's a very important point that can be taken from their reaction. So in Matthew 28, we read, the guards feared and trembled. So these were Roman guards. They were tough, ruthless, battle-hardened soldiers who had more than likely seen about all there is to see. They were trusted and reliable, and they feared no one. Yet the sight of the angel causes them to tremble and become like dead men. So this kind of really drives home the idea of the holiness of the angel. Not even the rough, tough, stoic Roman soldiers could be a match for God. On reflection, this is fairly obvious, right? But at this time, the Roman soldiers were highly respected and feared. So this imagery that's going on here is very powerful. So we later read that the guards had assembled with the elders and taken counsel. The elders gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, tell people, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So the guards knew how big this was. They saw the angel. They felt the earthquake. They knew how literally and symbolically earth-shattering this whole ordeal was. But they also knew that this meant that they, the Roman guards, were in huge trouble. Christ was a problem for the Jews and Rome at the time. For Rome, he was seen as a political threat, someone who could potentially start a Jewish uprising in Roman-occupied territory. For the Pharisees and Sadducees, he was seen as a heretic for rejecting the hypocrisy and legalism that was so rampant in those days. Christ was a devout Jew, there's no mistake about that, but he also saw the moral behind the law. The Pharisees were so concerned with a sort of checklist-style behavior, checking to see if everyone was properly following protocol, that they failed to see the motive behind the law. So if the guards were found to be responsible, or rather irresponsible, in their duty to watch over the tomb, this could mean death for them. These guards had come from a background of training, a training veterans could probably relate to. The Roman government had a system where they would break you down into pieces and build you back up to what they needed you to be. They took their job seriously and were competent. But for these guards, dealing with the immediate consequences took preference over the honest contemplation. The guards chose self-preservation. They chose to spare their lives. They chose to live another day. They chose to deny the experience that they had just seen in order to find some sort of temporal safety and escape the uncomfortable situation and realization that they were on the wrong side. They were complicit in the killing of a man who had literally just been rose from the grave. But we must understand what's going on here. This event changes everything for the guards. Their entire life must be reconsidered in the light of the resurrection. Worldviews must be redeveloped and considered. Their jobs must be rethought. Lifestyles come crashing down. Or they could suppress this. In the interest of being comfortable and maintaining their lifestyle, they could deny that this had ever occurred. They could retain their power, their status, their lifestyle, and avoid the punishment that would have certainly occurred at the hands or from the hands of the Roman government. So they were putting status, wealth, lifestyle, and most importantly, comfort ahead of observable fact. So with the bribe from the Jewish officials, we move on and they exit the narrative. What a witness this could have been. A guard who had seen the angel descend from heaven and roll away the stone. The guard could have testified to the moment and how it changed their life. They could testify to how they laid down their job. They changed their lifestyle. They let go of their wealth in the light of the truth. The man who was flogged, mocked, and crucified had risen from the grave, and they had been firsthand witnesses to this event. But that isn't what happened. We don't know what happened to the guards, but from the implication of the text, we can assume that they returned to the status quo. They helped spread the rumor that the disciples had stolen the body, despite the complete ridiculousness and implausibility of that happening in front of their eyes. And in many ways, this is a great tragedy occurring at the absolute climax of the gospel. Jesus Christ has risen. He has conquered death so that all who believe in him may inherit eternal life. And yet, the guards actively work against the disciples. The choice had been made, and the guards chose comfort over truth and sacrifice. We are all called as Christians to make sacrifices, to put certain comforts aside for the sake of following Christ. There are billions across the world, including us in the sanctuary right now, who can make huge contributions in furthering the kingdom of God. But we have a choice. Do we choose comfort or do we choose Christ? Comfort, for many of us, is our most active desire. We live in the richest country in the world. And if we want, we can live in our own little bubble, this little bubble of self-delusion, where we go from point A to point B without any deviation. If we sit in a room in the summer and there's no air conditioning, we instantly flip out. That's true. That is very true. If we are held up in traffic, it could ruin our entire day. There are fast food restaurants now that offer these deals. If the food does not come out in less than 5 minutes, you get your food free, which is awesome, but it's indication of the culture that we can't be bothered to even take 5 minutes out of our day, to be inconvenienced even 5 minutes. We wear headphones in order to avoid conversation when we are walking through crowds. We have daily routines that we go through, and any deviation ruins our entire day. So there are larger consequences to these smaller instances. I'll share a personal story. When I first began college, I had a psychology class that dealt with personality theories. In this class, for whatever reason, we watched a 20-minute segment of a film that dealt with this ridiculous idea that Jesus Christ and the Bible was based on this global conspiracy, and it had to do with the Egyptian god Horus, and it's really wacky stuff. It's easily disproven. In fact, it has been thoroughly disproven by both Christian and atheist scholars, scientists, archaeologists, and Egyptologists. Nonetheless, we watched this segment of the film, and there was a young girl in the class who, she was a Christian, and it became obvious that she was pretty bothered by the film. So she called out the professor, and so her and the professor had this little discussion, and it went back and forth for quite a bit of time, and as it continued to go on, the girl started, she committed the grave sin of losing the room, right? She lost her audience, whom she was appealing to. The professor was a much better speaker because he was a professor. So while this is going on, I was sitting in the back of the room, and the longer this little debate went on, the more the other students began to scoff. There began loud sighs, whispers, can't she just shut up already, you know? And I knew that this was my time to step up. My time to step up and help my sister in Christ. To defend the faith against the classroom and the professor. And so I sat there, and I did absolutely nothing. I watched this young girl dive into the deep waters for her faith. I watched her valiantly try to defend it, and I joined the others in scoffing at her, sighing, rolling my eyes. And I did this because I am, in and of myself, without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, a coward. I did this because I would rather have stayed in my own little bubble of comfort, my own little bubble where I cannot be offended, I cannot be hurt, then step out for the faith. I joined the others in stepping over her. I did not lend my hand in helping her to raise her off the ground. My comfort was the most important thing to me in this situation. So we can look at the guards and say, how dare they? I would never do this. I would never choose my own comfort over the truth. I would never choose my own lifestyle over an angel descending from heaven. But we can speak these things, but unfortunately, our actions say otherwise. When we are young, we dream up of all these grand plans for our future. We want to travel the world, feed the homeless, solve world hunger, promote world peace. But as we grow up, our desires begin to change. We start to learn how the world works, and we start to see that many of our desires are outside of our comfort zone. So then we begin to desire the status quo, a nice home with a white picket fence, a church you can go to and stay completely disconnected. We lack the inhibition and desire of our young self to make a change in the world. We put our passions behind us, and we find our routines. And routines, by definition, are comfortable. We know what's going to happen, and we don't need to take any risk. But we are called by Christ to put Him first in our life. This means following Him even if it's uncomfortable, even if it's dangerous. Last week, we saw just how dangerous following Christ could be. Last week, we saw two Coptic Orthodox churches were bombed in Egypt. This bombing killed 45 people, including women and small children. Yes, we have legitimate disagreements with the Coptic Orthodox Church, but nonetheless, they are our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we mourn their deaths, and we use them as an example of following Christ no matter what the risk. So we must fight against an ambivalent attitude towards service and fight against this risk-averse brand of Christianity. So as we think of the guards today, who put their comfort ahead of truth, we cannot begin to think we are not capable of this. We are, and we must fight against this complacency and desire to put comfort over all, including God. We must not limit ourselves and think that we are incapable of being used by God to further His kingdom and to do all these awesome things. Following Christ can be uncomfortable. It requires sacrifice and stepping out of our comfort zone in order to proclaim the gospel. But God will strengthen you. God will provide. We must not think that any of His plans are impossible. In fact, the impossible has already happened. A dead man has risen. So I would like to invite Pastor Max to come up and give a perspective on the women.
Just want to take the next several moments and talk about some of the things that Greg shared there a few moments ago. He said a single event that changed everything for the guards. Friends, that single event should change everything for us. The word comfort, it actually comes from two Latin words, and it really means to strengthen. You see, the guards were unwilling to sacrifice, and so they sought comfort, and so they really were headed in that way of being strengthened to walk in a certain way. This morning, I want to turn our attention to the passage talking about the reaction of the women. This is a translation from the Message, and it says, "After the Sabbath, as the first light of the new week dawned, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to keep vigil at the tomb." After the Sabbath. After the first light of dawn, very early in the morning, comfort to strengthen. You see, the women, they were willing to sacrifice whatever it took to work out of their love, their devotion, their care, their compassion. What we're going to find out here is that the women actually found comfort when they were willing to sacrifice. The guards never did find comfort because they were unwilling to sacrifice, and they ultimately dealt with the whole travesty of living with telling that lie for the rest of their life. There are some of us here today that we need to get right with God, to put it bluntly. We've been seeking to make sure that our lives are comfortable, our lives are solidified in what we deem to be acceptable. We're unwilling to sacrifice. And friends, you'll never find comfort that way. You will get strengthened to live according to that pattern of your life. You wonder how the women, how they were able to, after the death of Jesus, laid in a tomb, how were they able to wake up that morning and say, we're going to go out of love and devotion? You see, it wasn't a single event. Sometimes we come to Easter service on Sunday morning, Easter every year, and we think, okay, I'm good. I've done my duty. Really? And then we scratch our head and we think, okay, why? Why do I still struggle with the besetting sin? Why do I still struggle with these flesh patterns coming out in my life, whatever they may be? It's because, friends, for 364 days out of the year, you have been being strengthened to operate your life in a certain pattern. The women, after walking with Jesus for years, they said, this is my love for this man, Rabboni, teacher. We're going to see in a few moments, in a few scriptures down, that when Jesus appeared to them, they initially just fell on their face and they worshiped. You see, the overflow of the heart comes out the mouth, but it's our reactions that really show what's inside of us. If we plug our souls with garbage every single day and think that an Easter Sunday will fix it all, we're sadly mistaken. We can't be so deluded. We can't be so deceived. And so they came. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to keep vigil at the tomb. The angel spoke to the women. You see, this is where they find comfort. There is nothing to fear here. The guards, unwilling to sacrifice, never did find comfort. The women, willing to sacrifice, immediately found comfort. They found comfort from the angel. And if you look down a further bit, Jesus met them, stopping them in their tracks. Good morning, he said. They fell to their knees, embraced his feet, and worshiped him. And Jesus said, you're holding on to me for dear life. Don't be frightened. Again, they found comfort. You see, the single event that changed everything for the guards, it solidified everything for the women. Their reaction was a reaction out of their soul. Their reaction was a reaction out of care, compassion, and love, and devotion to the risen Christ. The question before us this morning, what are we being strengthened to? What are we seeking comfort from? Are we seeking comfort from making sure that everybody thinks good of ourselves? Are we seeking comfort from drugs and alcohol, illicit relationships? Are we seeking comfort from making sure our reputation is of some sort? Are we seeking comfort from having this status in our life? If those are the things we're seeking comfort from, if we are being strengthened in that pattern, we will never find the peace for your soul, and that is comfort, my friends. You see, the women, and don't get caught up on why Jesus appeared to the women. You know, where the other 12 disciples, 11, Judas was out doing his own deal. So the other 11 and the other disciples, you know where they were at? They were terrified. They were huddled in a room. They weren't moving forward. They themselves weren't willing to sacrifice. The women is who Jesus appeared to first, because simply for one reason and one reason only, they were there. If you get nothing else out of this morning, know this. If you get up every morning and read your Bible and pray, now, I've been told by other pastors, don't ever speak in absolute terms, but I'm going to say one right now. I guarantee you, friends, I guarantee you, the risen Christ will meet you if you do that every morning. You see, the women, they were doing what they had trained their lives to do. They were doing what they had done for years, supporting Jesus, encouraging him, and following him. The trouble with us is this. We think a good flash in a pan is enough. We think one Sunday a year is enough. It's not. It's not. It needs to be repetitive.
It needs to be consistent. And then this is the result you will get. And the result will always include being strengthened. Being strengthened in your soul. And when the unforeseen comes, you will be able to stand on the rock who is Jesus. When those things assail your life, you will be immovable because Christ is risen. I don't know where you're at today, but I hope and I pray that your heart is open. I hope that you are willing to make a change. I hope that you are willing to look honestly, to look openly at where you have been patterning your life from. If it's from this world, you need to change. If it's after Jesus, then continue to do it, and the result will always be he will strengthen you, he will uplift you, he will bless you with his peace. You know why he can do that? Because the tomb is empty, friends. The tomb is empty. We're going to watch a video, and let us bow our heads and our hearts, and may we open our hearts here this morning in a word of prayer. Gracious God, we humbly bow before you, Jesus. We thank you, O Lord, for the event, the resurrection that changed everything. O God, may it change everything for us today. May this not be a once-a-year thing for us. May it be the start of something new. May we have the boldness and the courage to say, Jesus, I've been playing a game. I need you, O God. And may you, the word says, your holy writ says you are faithful even when we are not. And we look to you, O God, that you would meet us during this time of need. We thank you and bless you for our brothers and sisters, the Coptic Christians, who they stand strong. May we be like that. But may we be faithful with the little things. Before, as your word says, you will entrust us with much. So, Father God, just soften our hearts. May we introspect now. We bless you now. In the holy name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen.
before we sing our closing song, I just want to, I'm not a big one for altar calls. But you know, one last fact about the women. The Gospel of John tells us that they were talking amongst themselves, who's going to roll away the stone? So sometimes I think that we think that the angel had to roll away the stone so Jesus could get out. Friends, that's not the case at all. He rolled away the stone so we could go in. Let that sink in. If you are here and if you are in need of strengthening, if you are in need of peace, if you are in need of hope, if you are in need of love, friends, know this. The stone has been rolled away. All you have to do is step in. Step in. The stone has been rolled away. May you step in and receive the strengthening that God wants for you this morning. May we sing our last song. Here and you need prayer, please come. We would love to pray for you this morning. May we close in a word of song.
Savior of the world was found.
Friends, Jesus is alive today. He's alive forever. He's the one who inhabits eternity. If you're here and you still need to be strengthened and you're not sure what you might do, Greg is teaching a class and it's starting tomorrow night, and it's called Learning and Discovering Faith in Jesus. One of the ways that we are strengthened is not only through prayer, but the study of his word. And Greg is going to be leading a 5-week course beginning tomorrow at 7,
yes.
7 p.m. right here at Trinity. We would like to invite everyone who would like to learn more and be strengthened in your faith. Because friends, Jesus is alive. He is alive. Amen?
Amen.
Now may the God of all grace bless you and keep you. May he fill you with his love. May he anoint you with his goodness. May his peace adorn your very being. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you and I go in peace on this blessed Easter day. Go in peace. Amen.